Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I'm glad to be back with you in this program. And I hope that I want to thank you, first of all, for joining in and disciplining yourself to try to learn some more of the Word of God and your God's Word. And one thing that we do want to do is fall in love with the Word of God. We want to know what the Bible says. There's so much, so many different people in the world today that want to tell you what God thinks and what God says and what God feels and how God is and who God is, and want to tell you all these different things. But they don't want to line up with the book themselves. So that's where we're going to find out who our God is about and what our God is about, is from the Word of God. And when you're listening in on these, I don't want you to, you're not listening to a real educated man, and I don't pretend to be, but I love the Lord, and I love being able to try to, my idea of teaching somebody as being a teacher is the idea that you come out better than I am. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The idea of me speaking to this, that the Lord gave me men to teach me the things of the Word of God, and the longer I live, we've talked about that before, the longer I live, the more I find out, the less I know. And if you you thought about that for a minute, you probably agree with that too. But we don't know nothing when it comes to the Lord. The Lord doesn't think like us, and we sit here and try to pull our shoulders back and stick our chin up in the air and act like we know something, and we know something about something, you know. We don't know nothing when it's compared to the Lord. And the Lord sits back and just laughs and giggles about that stuff sometimes, I imagine. The Bible says, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. So today we're going to go into a new study, and the letter N, it's our study number 14, and the title of it's going to be The New Birth. The doctrine that we're going to learn is the new birth. And we're, like I said, this is the ABCs of the Christian growth, of Christian growth, and these are things that Christians need to know. And I hope, since we've been going through this study, that you have learned something new from the Scriptures. It's my desire for you to know the Scriptures and to know what God says, but every Christian should know these things. And in our churches and in Christendom, it's sad, but it's true that people are showing up to church, but they're not getting in. I'm not saying every church now, and I don't even think that. I know there's pastors out there that care about their flocks, and that they are indeed feeding them. But the majority of them are not nowadays in this Laodicean era, in the end times that we're living in right now in 2019. And if you don't think that we are, I mean, any of y'all that are my age or right around there, we've talked about this before, that if you can't look around you when you step outside and go for a drive down to the store or something, walk through the store, and you can't see a difference in society and how it's changed in the last 50 years spiritually, then you're blind as a bat, because it has. It's changed tremendously, and you can see it. The Lord said you can look at the sky and tell what tomorrow's weather's going to be like, but you can't look around you and see the sign of the times? And yes, you can. And this is not anything for us to fear. It's something for us to, it ought to be something that accelerates our will, our ambition for the Lord, and our desire to do something for the Lord. We know that he's coming, and that's the majority of what the Scriptures prophesy and talk about, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a second advent. But being born again is a Bible doctrine, and it's something that is mandatory. It's not anything to be flippant with, or to think as a joke, and the world has gotten this thing in just that kind of manner in their thought process out there. Now, I want to make some kind of correction. I told you through these things that I don't know everything, And I made a mistake on one of the last, I don't remember which one it was. You probably caught me on it and wonder how come I ain't said anything about it yet, because I've been studying through Matthew, and I just finished it up today. But I've been studying it about 2 months, I reckon, and I found out that I had said something, and the Holy Ghost told me to correct it, and I told you that I would. Well, it was concerning Judas Iscariot and the communion. And when the Lord was instituting communion there on the night before he was going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and then be arrested and betrayed by Judas, he had the Last Supper communion and instituted that. Well, I had said before that Judas had got up and left before the Lord did that. Well, I was wrong about that. And the Holy Ghost reminded me of that as I was reading through Matthew, and I got to studying it, and come to find out, Judas Iscariot sat in on that. He was in there. And if you read the scriptures and compare the gospels to one another and read the process of time and going through the times and what happened through the times of the gospels, you find out that Judas Iscariot did sit in on that communion indeed. And he did. So I was wrong in that, and I found me out something new. But these are things that we need to do for one another. And the Bible said that there was a fellow in the scriptures that was preaching, and as he was preaching with the right intentions and the right focus and meant business and was sincere, but he was not perfect in what he was preaching. So a couple brothers and sisters, or a brother and a sister, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, pulled him aside and showed, taught him more perfectly in the scriptures, the Bible says. So we're always learning, and the Holy Ghost, if you're sincere in your heart and you mean business and you're not ashamed to say when you don't be scared of something like that. I mean, I told you at the beginning of this thing, I don't know everything, and I ain't going to pretend to know everything, but I'm learning. And the things that I'm learning, I'm nailing it down, putting it in my mind, and knowing that it's from the Holy Scriptures. And I know I'm right because God said so. And that's how you know you're right. You see. So anyway, Judas Iscariot, I correct that, and I stand corrected that Judas was indeed in the communion according to the scriptures. And I was wrong when I said that he had left prior to that, because he didn't. Okay, let's move on. Now, the new birth, being born again. The Bible talks about that, and it talks about it quite a bit. And in the Pauline epistles, where Paul called it my gospel, we're in the gospel of the grace of God in this dispensation. And this pouring out and God dispensing of things in different times throughout time, the time that you live in right now is the gospel of the grace of God. The way that people get to heaven and the way that people go to hell depends on their decision about the Lord Jesus Christ and their decision about being born again. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, that is indeed in this time that we live right now. And this is the way that the Lord has made it, that we be saved and that we be born again. And this is how we go to heaven. This is how you get your name written in heaven. Now, this study is going to be somewhat of a lengthy study, not very real long, but it doesn't matter, does it? But we're going to go over quite a few things having to do with a new birth. And a few of those things I'll just mention in introduction here. We're going to talk about the very first thing. We're going to just flip the coin all the way upside down, and we're going to talk about what being born again is not. What being born again is not. We need to know what, there's a whole bunch of ideas about what being born again in the world is now. They use these words flippantly, and a lot of Christian words in society nowadays, the world has picked up, and they're using them, and they're corrupting them. you might ask yourself, so what's the big deal about being born again anyway? What's so crucial about being born again? Well, it's a good question, and there was some educated people in the Scriptures who went directly to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the same questions. And the Lord gave him answers. And that's what we're going to go over, is some of his conversation between him and a man named Nicodemus that came and asked him the same question about this and wondered about it. And the Lord said, you're an educated man, one of the smartest people around here, and you don't know what being born again is? The new birth is a Bible doctrine. It tells us what is and what is not concerning going to heaven and being born again. It tells us how, who, what, when, and where, having to do with being born again, the new birth in the Scriptures. Now, hopefully by the end of this study that you will have allowed the Holy Ghost to open your eyes and your understanding to the Bible meaning of what being born again is and why the Lord Jesus Christ stressed the importance of being born again. Because he did. The Lord Jesus Christ put his finger down on this matter and said, listen, you better pay attention to this one. Because you don't get but one chance about this. If you die not being right about what the Scriptures say about the new birth and being born again, you'll die in your sins and you will go to hell, according to the Scriptures. So this is one of the doctrines in the Scriptures there's no space for error when it comes to this matter. It's nothing to be played with or toyed with. And I think that's why the enemy is taking some of these words that are found only in the Scriptures and only in Christendom and has put them in society and out in the world and corrupted them so that their meaning is not spiritual anymore. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Scriptures, we'll begin and just put this whole thing in a nutshell. Being born again, the new birth. Jesus said in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ's words right out of his mouth. The Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. That's what he said about this matter of being born again. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Look it up. It's in John 3:7. Now, if the Lord said that this must be, then what does that mean? I mean, if the Son of God, God in the flesh, said this must be, what did he mean by that? He meant you don't want to make a mistake and this not be something that you paid attention to and found out what it means and what it stands for and what Jesus is talking about when he said you must be born again. Now, there's some precious, these words that we're talking about, there are some precious words and Bible words that we almost hesitate to use these days because they've been so abused and misused throughout Christendom. Words like Christian and bishop, those are Bible words. They're very scriptural to use them. And they mean different things to different people, though. And even though their Bible meaning has never changed, it's changed in the world because of the misuse of it. Another term that has been subjected to this is born again. There's all kinds of born again in the world today. But the Son of God used it out of his mouth, and it went across his tongue, and he made them words and spoke them in his eternal word to give us warning that you must be born again. Now, when we're talking about this thing being misused today, as far as the words of born again, some places mean that you have had some kind of life-changing experience. Is that what born again means? It's used in popular songs that means falling in love. Is that what born again means? Is that what Jesus meant? The Hollywood superstars by the dozen profess to be born again, yet they continue producing their wicked wares. Even Roman Catholics are using the term born again. Now, all of them can't be right, and I don't think Jesus is not the author of confusion. I don't think he would have told us, ye must be born again, and then had us filter through all these different things that call themselves born again. Now, because the Lord Jesus Christ said we could not get to heaven without being born again, it becomes vitally important that we understand the Bible meaning of the term. What does the Bible say born again means? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You say, well, what does that have to do with being born again? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because being born again in the Scriptures, the term being born again in the Scriptures, has to do with whether or not you have life or whether you do not have life. And when we say have life, we're talking about spiritual life. We're talking about your existence after your body goes back to the dirt, where you're going to go. So let's study together and see what this scripture say about this what born again means. Now, the first thing that we're going to talk about as far as being born again is what being born again is not. What being born again is not, according to the scriptures. What being born again is not is the new birth is the first thing we're going to talk about is that the new birth is not baptism. The new birth in the scriptures that Jesus said ye must have is not baptism. Those that teach the doctrine of baptismal regeneration, all the infant sprinkling churches and some immersion churches, some of them immerse, but they believe that baptism is part of your salvation, your regeneration, your being born again. And they're wrong. The scriptures don't teach that. And they use the scriptures as a proof text to say that these things have to do, that baptism has to do, that the scriptures teach that baptism has to do with being born again. Well, the scriptures are indeed true that they're quoting, but they do not mean what they say they mean concerning baptism being part of you being born again or having the new birth. And what Jesus was talking about when he said, ye must be born again. Now, the first thing that they say, these people that preach and teach the doctrine of baptismal regeneration, and all that simply means is that you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven, or have favor with God in order to go to heaven. Like infant sprinkling, like the Catholics do, you bring your baby in there and get them sprinkled so that they're safe and they're going to go to heaven, and all the yee-yees and ya-yas having to do with that. Is that what the Bible teaches? You see, because the only thing God is going to honor, you have to get this in your mind and in your heart, the only thing that God is going to honor in eternity is his word and how you lined up with his word and what he said. There ain't going to be no, well, I thought, well, the way that I understood it and took it, well, I think it means, there ain't going to be none of that in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't going to be none of that at no judgment. It's going to be, what did the Bible say? So it's very important for us to understand that. Now, does the Bible teach that the new birth is baptism? Or that baptism has anything to do with the new birth? Well, let's find out. Now, these proof texts that these people use concerning the new birth out of the Scriptures, the first one that they try to use is found in John chapter 3, verse 5, which says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, it sounds like in that scripture, that's exactly what he's saying, that you have to be born of water. Well, does that water he's talking about stand for being baptized or being immersed or being sprinkled with water? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about H2O, liquid water? Well, the context of this verse, especially the one that follows it in John 3:6, that says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In John 3:6, the Lord defined what he meant in John 3:5. He said, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man..." Now, except a man, that means in this case, if a man is not born the way I'm describing to you, it's going to cost him. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, what did the Lord mean by that? Well, then he took a breath and he quoted John 3:6. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, putting them two verses together, what did the Lord mean? Was he talking about water, liquid water, baptismal, a pool of water to be baptized, that you have to be baptized? Well, according to these people that believe in baptismal generation, that's exactly what they say it means, because they use John 3:5, where it says born of water, that as being born again. Is that what the Lord was talking about? Well, he said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Ghost, that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is spirit. In other words, he's making a separation there between being born of water and born of the Spirit. And he's describing, he's making that separation as a definition to what he said, that you have to be born of water and the Spirit. These two things are mandatory. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and of the Spirit. What does the born of water mean? Well, he defined it in John 3:6, and you probably already know the answer. He says, concerning being born of water, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Well, what is flesh? Well, flesh is your body. What's draped over you, what you are inside of, it's the body. In other words, when you're born of your mother physically, fleshly, and you are in her belly, you are in water, aren't you? And what happens before you exit your mother? Her water breaks, and you are born. Jesus said, now let's read it again, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." It's distinctly flesh. It has nothing to do with the Spirit. He's saying that you have to be born again, and he's making a description of what being born again is, that is, there's a distinction between being born of water and being born of the Spirit. He's dividing them, but he's showing you that you have to have both of them in order to enter the kingdom of God. You have to be born of your mama. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." And then he defines that also in distinction in John 3:6. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." In other words, you came out of your mama, you was born of her, so you half qualify. and that which is born of the Spirit. Now, you know, in your King James Bible, they capitalized that first Spirit there, and that makes it God the Holy Ghost. And that which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is the spirit part of man. So what Jesus is saying, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," capital S, God the Holy Ghost, "ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So you see, Jesus wasn't saying that you had to be born of H2O water. You had to be baptized in water, or you had to have some water sprinkled over you. He wasn't saying that at all. He wasn't even thinking that when he said that. He was talking about and making a distinction between the flesh, because he had been asked a question from Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, "Can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born a second time?" They were talking about a fleshly birth. Nicodemus was thinking Jesus is telling him that you got to go back up in your mama and come back out again. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Man, you're a educated man and top dog around here, and you don't understand this?" So he explained it to him. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is Spirit." In other words, Nicodemus, we're not talking about a fleshly thing here. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about being born again spiritually, not physically, the fleshly birth, but a spiritual birth. Does that make sense? Of course it does. It's the Bible. It's Scripture. Very simple. ABC stuff. And it's good stuff. It's true. And it's what the Lord was teaching. So you see, John 3:5 is not a proof text having to do with what being born again or the new birth is. It is not baptism. And that verse will not do to prove that you need to be sprinkled or baptized in order to be regenerated or to be born again. It doesn't work. It's not what Jesus meant. The second verse that they use, moving right along here, is in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Let me read it to you. It says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Well, the second verse that they use as a proof text concerning being sprinkled or being born of water, H2O, baptized in water, is the part of that verse that says, "by the washing of regeneration." In other words, because the verse used the word washing, they suppose that they're talking about washing like in a bath, or washing like in water, or washing like in H2O. It's not what the Lord's talking about. He just got through explaining to us this is a spiritual washing. This is a spiritual regeneration. This is not renewing anything having to do with the flesh. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us," listen, "and washed us from our sins in his own blood." It's a spiritual washing by the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us to be have the ability to be born of the Spirit. You see, has nothing to do with H2O. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 defines the washing as being washed from our sins in the blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. The washing of regeneration has nothing to do with water. Revelation 1:5 defines this washing. We are washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual washing, nothing to do with the water H2O at all. So this is the second proof text that they say that the Bible teaches that you need to be sprinkled, or you, it's funny, they don't know whether you need to be sprinkled or immersed or dunked or water poured. Some people think you're poured. You take a pitcher and pour the water on. Some people think you be sprinkled. Some people think you be immersed. I mean, the Bible is not that confusing. God's not the author of confusion. What does he say? Well, first of all, he says being born of water has absolutely nothing to do with being baptized or sprinkled or anything like that. And he says it right there in his own words and makes it very clear. We went over that. The second thing that they use for having to do with proof text is the washing of regeneration, which has absolutely nothing to do with H2O. He's talking about a spiritual washing that can only be accomplished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1:5 defines that washing. The third thing that they talk about, and remember what we're talking about, what the new birth is not. The new birth is not baptism. Now, if you've been baptized and you think you're going to heaven because of that part of that baptism, then you need to listen very carefully what the scriptures are saying here. And I'm not making fun of anybody concerning that. If you have been told that and taught that, then you need to listen very closely and find out what the scripture says. Because in the end, when you go into eternity, it's not going to be all them preachers and pastors and blah-bitty-blah that taught you all these things. It's going to be God that you've got to answer to concerning what is right and wrong. And the only thing that we've got on this planet that has to do with finding out what God says and what he thinks is this document we're reading from, the Bible. So you want to know what the Bible says about this. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying what is right and what is wrong. What is the doctrine of being born again? Well, we're talking about what being born again is not. The Bible does not teach H2O baptism in any manner, form, way, anything, in any way at all, anywhere, having to do with being born again. It never puts them two together. When the Bible talks about being saved and being born again and being having the new birth, it never talks about baptism in the same verse concerning water baptism, ever. The third thing that they use for a proof text is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, which says, the like figure, let me say that again, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now listen, this is parentheses in the scriptures. He's stopping right there so he makes sure that you get the point of what he's talking about. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. It sounds like he's saying that baptism has something to do with our salvation there, doesn't it? The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is one of the proof texts that they use. And notice in all three of these verses, they don't use the entire verse. They only use the part that mentions water. And the Bible does mention water in that verse right there, 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism. And they use the part that says baptism doth also now save us. And that's it. None of the rest of the verse. They think that those six words right there have to do to teach doctrine of what God says about being born again. Now, is that true or is it not true? Because it's very important, because Jesus said that you must be born again. And secondly, he said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So in other words, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. So it's very important to know whether this thing is true or whether it's not true, whether it is or whether it is not. Okay, so the third one there says 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. But a careful reading of this verse shows three things. Number one, it shows that baptism is a figure. It is a symbol. It's symbolic. He's not talking about salvation and being saved and that baptism is part of being saved. He's talking about the first three words that, and I repeated those three times when we started this verse. The like figure. Symbolic. It represents something else. A figure or a symbol is something that represents something else. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. It's a figure. That's the first thing. It's symbolic. The second thing about this verse is the literal washing of the body does nothing for us spiritually. And he says that. Listen to it. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. In other words, you're already saved, and baptism represents what has already happened to you. And then he puts in parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So he's saying that the literal washing of the body does nothing for us spiritually. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You can wash as much many times. You take 10 baths and get in the water 10 times a day. It does nothing for you spiritually. And the third thing about the verse is that baptism is the answer or the response of a good conscience toward God. In other words, you obeyed the Lord and what he said, and what he said was right, and what he said was wrong, and you have a good conscience because of that. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see. So, these are the three verses. If you ever talk to anybody, most of the time, I'm not sure what everything is. I don't know everything. But as far as what we know concerning this, they'll take you to one of these verses and say, this is what the Bible teaches concerning that you have to be infant sprinkled, or your infant has to be sprinkled, or you have to be immersed like the Church of Christ does it. I think they still do it that way. They did. But that you have to be baptized in water, H2O, in order to be regenerated, born again. That is not what the Bible teaches. We just went over those three verses that they use for proof text, and they don't say any such thing they don't say anything at all about what they're saying they say. Now, how do we get a good conscience in the first place? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 says in verse 14 through 16, listen to this. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. How do you get a good conversation? You have a clear conscience between you and the Lord. And even though you're persecuted, you live a sanctified life from your heart. You serve God because you want to and because you love Him, not because you have to. It's not an act. It's not the act of baptism that saves anyone, anywhere, anyhow. Literal wet water does absolutely nothing for the spirit of man, especially the saving of his soul from hell and the judgment of a holy God. You're not going to stand before God and say, "I was baptized, Lord." What baptism pictures is what already saved a soul and has taken place. It is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His provision through that people are born again. So, there it is. Now, we needed to stop and talk about this, and like I said, I'm in no way making fun of anybody. If you've been taught this thing, you go back over these scriptures, because I'm going to give them to you. And you go back over these scriptures and you read these things for what they say. You read God's word for what it says, not for what somebody says they think it says. What does it say? And if it tells you the same thing that we've studied today, and the Holy Ghost will bear witness with your spirit that it's true. And if it's true and God the Holy Ghost says it's true to you, then you believe it and don't let anybody take it from you ever again. Now, we've talked about, just to recap a little bit, we had an introduction to this, the new birth, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." That's what makes this, I don't even have a word for how important it is. The Lord said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You either have life, or you do not have life. Now, you're living right now, of course. That's not what the Lord's talking about. You notice how this thing is making a transition from fleshly and the flesh and living in this body to moving into a spiritual conversation and a spiritual truth. You notice how this is changing? Well, that's how it's going to continue to change. And when we're in the middle of this study, not far from where we're studying now, you're going to find out that this entire study has to do with spiritual matters. It does not have to do with anything having to do with the flesh. And most of this baptism, what being born again is not, having the new birth is not baptism, because baptism, the way that the world and all the people that worship this baptism and think that they're going to heaven because they've been baptized, has to do with the flesh. Nothing spiritual about it at all. And it is not part of being born again. The Lord never says anywhere in the scriptures, anywhere, anyhow, when he's talking about the new birth and being born again, is water, H2O, brought into the conversation or the statement or the truth. Anywhere. It's never referred to, not in the Bible, as having anything, anywhere, anyhow, having to do with being born again. You cannot be born again, according to the Holy Scriptures, by being baptized or sprinkled or even immersed. Water, H2O, has nothing to do with being born again or the new birth, according to the Scriptures. The next things that we're going to talk about concerning what being born again is not, is the new birth is not reformation. In other words, moral improvement, turning over a new leaf, sticking to my New Year resolution. And the new birth is not some religious experience. We're going to go over these things on our next program and talk about that. So I hope you've been encouraged that, and if you, this is something that has slapped you in the face and you just don't know what to do about it, just slow down, read over these scriptures that I'm talking to you about. And I wasn't making fun of you at all. I'm just trying to show you the truth from the Word of God and what God says. And when you get into eternity, that's what you're going to want to have cross your lips is, Lord, you said in your word, and the Lord will say, very well, that is exactly what I said. Because in eternity, all the opinions ain't going to mean diddly squat. It's going to be what saith the Lord. And concerning the new birth, when it comes to baptism and water regeneration, baptismal regeneration is found nowhere in the scriptures. Okay? So you just keep stay with this study, and we'll go through the ABCs a part of this. And time we get to the end of it, you'll know exactly what the Bible means by being born again and the new birth. Okay? Let me give you the scriptures, and you write these things down, and please go back over them and read them. I know you do, but go back over them and read them, because what we're doing this for, is to learn what saith the Lord. The first scripture is John chapter 3, verse 7, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, John chapter 3, verse 5, John chapter 3, verse 6, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. And there we go. There's our first study on the new birth. And I hope that you have, I know you have. I have. It's good to learn together, isn't it? And especially learn the truth. And the truth about such a serious subject about going to heaven and having eternal life, or either going to hell and dying in your sins. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And if you die and leave that body without being born again, according to the scriptures, you will go to hell. So that's what we want to avoid. So we'll be back and we'll talk on this next lesson. And nothing to be scared of if you're sincere and you mean business with the Lord and you really want to know what being born again is and what the new birth is and what Jesus has done and what the Father and God the Holy Ghost have done, then you stay with these and we'll go over the ABCs of what the Bible says. And we'll find out what this born again means. And if you're not born again, you will have the opportunity to be born again and know without a shadow of a doubt that because of what the scriptures say, you can know that you're going to heaven and have God's promise that you're going. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you. And every one of you, thank you for listening to this, and thank you for honoring the Lord concerning His Word and thinking Him worthy and His Word worthy to spend your time studying it. The Lord knows that you're doing these things, and He is honored by it, and He'll honor you in return. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.